Good afternoon. I've just finished a working meeting with Foreign Minister Lavrov, and it's clear that we assess the situation in Ukraine in very different ways. I reiterated and restated NATO's position, and that is to, and I expressed extremely high concerns about the very critical and serious situation in Ukraine. And I repeated NATO's strong support for a sovereign, independent Ukraine. And I also underscored Russia's responsibility for the situation, the critical situation, because Russia is supporting the separatists, and because Russia do not respect the rules, and because they have violated the territorial integrity of Ukraine. And I also explained the measures that NATO is implementing related to the reassurance measures, the increased military presence in the eastern part of our alliance, because that's a direct response to what we have seen in Ukraine, and it's proportionate, it's defensive, and it's fully in line with our international commitments. And then I also underlined the importance of finding a political solution to the conflict in Ukraine, the importance of support of the talks and the dialogue which is now taking place, and which was initiated by Chancellor Merkel and President Hollande, and the importance of that any agreement has to be respected. We have the Minsk agreements, but the problem is that the Minsk agreements have not been respected, and the ceasefire has not been respected. So it's extremely important that a new agreement is implemented and respected.
We have time for a few questions. Please say which outlet you're from and give your names. Adrian.
Did you agree to anything with Mr. Lavrov, like a new meeting of the NATO-Russia Council or anything like that?
We haven't agreed on any specific meetings, but we agreed to continue to keep channels of political contact open. And that's in line with what NATO decided after the outbreak of the crisis in Ukraine. And then we decided to suspend practical cooperation, but to keep channels for political contact open. And that's the reason why I have met the Russian ambassador at NATO, and that's the reason why I met with Lavrov today. And I also underlined that we will maintain military to military lines of communication open. And I think that especially in times like this, that are difficult, then it's even more important to communicate and to meet and to keep the channels for political contact open.
Bettina?
In his speech, Mr. Lavrov talked very aggressive about the United States and that the United States are responsible for what happening. Did he say anything like this to you, or did you talk about this with him?
I think that Foreign Minister Lavrov has to, in a way, say what he said in the meeting, but I can say that he restated some of the well-known Russian positions, and that just confirms that we have very different assessments about what's what has happened and what's the situation in Ukraine and what caused the conflict in Ukraine and also the increased tensions between Russia and NATO. Again, for me this is about two very fundamental principles. It's about respecting borders, using force, not supporting violent separatists, and respecting the sovereignty of a country. And the sovereignty and the borders of Ukraine are violated, and that's because Russia has annexed Crimea, illegally annexed Crimea, and continues to support the separatists in eastern Ukraine.
It sounds like it was a pretty frosty meeting in which not very much moved and people were talking past each other. Is that a fair way to describe it? And if not, how? It'd be interesting to know how long the meeting lasted. And did either you or Mr. Lavrov actually make any suggestions in terms of enhancing military-to-military cooperation?
It was a working meeting, and I have met Lavrov for many, many years in my early capacity as Norwegian Prime Minister since back to 2000. So this was a working meeting. As I said, I think it is important to meet, to exchange views, to exchange our assessments and to exchange analysis of the situation, even though it doesn't lead to any concrete outcome of that specific meeting, because it is important to have these channels open, because the more difficult the situation we have, the more important it is that we are able to talk to each other. The meeting, I think it lasted for 40 minutes or something. We agreed that we should maintain the channels for the channels for military to military communication open, maintain them open. That's something we need to reduce the risks of misunderstanding. I would like to underline that this is also very much about contact and lines of communication between the individual allies, the different nations, but we also have some lines of communication between NATO and the chief of the army in Russia.
David?
Dave Rising with the Associated Press. Now that you've had your meeting with Mr. Lavrov, are you more or less optimistic about the possibility of a ceasefire?
I think it's very hard to, in a way, give you percentages when it comes to whether I'm more or less optimistic. But I'm 100% supportive of the efforts to try to find a political solution. And that was very much underlined in my meeting with Foreign Minister Lavrov. And there are talks going on, and we have to support them. And that's the important message today.
Jim?
Jim Duggar from Bloomberg. On the military communication, can you give us examples of what this entails? For example, you try to get the Russians to turn the transponders on or to do pre-notification of their exercises. And then secondly, do you have any sense in continuing to rule out a military solution that this rhetoric is seen by Russia as effectively the West giving it a green light to impose its own military solution in Ukraine?
The lines of military communication is something we'll have for many for a long time, as I've said, we have suspended practical cooperation, but we will maintain the lines of communication, both political contacts, but also the lines of communication will be maintained open. And that's between the headquarters. It's in the from NATO headquarters to the chief of the defense, the Scholz, in Russia. In addition, there are different lines of communication between nations and their counterparts in Russia on different levels. What NATO has done is three things. We have provided strong political support for Ukraine. I met with President Poroshenko earlier today, and I reiterated my very strong support for an independent, sovereign Ukraine within and the importance of respecting its sovereignty. We have political support. We have practical support, and the practical support is that we work with Ukraine to reform, to modernize their security sector, their armed forces. And this is important because it is key for Ukraine to be able to modernize and to improve the efficiency and the way their armed forces defense is working. We have established trust funds to also promote the cooperation we have. And the third thing we have done is to increase our own collective defense. And the establishment of the enhanced NATO response force, which is now around about 30,000. Previous size was 13,000. And then as part of this enhanced NATO response force, we have the Spirit Force. And of course, this is an answer to what we've seen in Ukraine.
Colleagues, we have time for one last question from the international media, if there is any. If not, we'll have some time for our Norwegian colleagues.